Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This is his theme song. Already in progress. Here comes the best part. Sing it home if you know the words.
Hey Joe, what do you know? You got your own show. Try not to blow it, cause if they're not funny, then you'll soon be gone. Make it fill the time with some more Lenny Kravitz songs. Then you'll be back in obscurity where you belong.
We still get to call him a Time magazine columnist because he still is Joel Stein. Hi, Joel.
Not for long. I have one left.
He writes the awesome column for Time magazine. The column that you wrote the other day, and I sent you a text about it, and you didn't respond, and that hurt my feelings a little bit.
Oh, I thought you were drunk. I didn't understand what you were talking about.
Well, you wrote...
I really didn't. I asked my wife. I'm like, she's like, just don't respond. It doesn't make sense.
I was reading your column, and you were talking about anxiety. And at the end, I thought it was rather forlorn. You were talking about, achievement and success. And I thought, no, Joel, you're still good. People still like you. I didn't give you all of that context, but I thought, why else do you think I'm saying this stuff?
And you texted him, I'll have another?
I just texted him, oh, bleep, Joel, no. I don't exactly remember what it was, but it was maybe I didn't loop you in enough, huh?
I'm also just not I don't like texting. But yes, that was very sweet of you now that I understand your drunken thoughts. Yes,
I was not. I was not drunk while I was texting.
Was there an emoji of an olive?
And I'm anti-emoji, too. Do I know that about you, Joel? Where are you in the continuum of letters versus emoticons and emoji?
I'm beyond emoji. I just kind of, I just make gruntle noises into my phone and hope people know what I mean.
I don't like emoji. I like letters and words. I don't like symbols, but that's a different topic.
I don't even like texting. I literally don't text unless I'm telling someone I'm late.
So then you don't have a lot to say about the new 280 character expansion that we now have, huh?
I am on Twitter just because they gave me all those followers a long time ago.
How many Twitter followers do you have?
Well, I lose them by the day. So at some point in the far distant past, I had over 1 million, and I'm closer to 900,000 now.
And you said, you've told me this, I don't remember exactly how that happened, that somehow you were gifted 1 million?
Yeah, probably more. Twitter had some suggested users early on.
Right.
And they made me one of them. So if you signed up for Twitter, they suggested following me.
All right, here. You're at 918,000. You're at 918,000. And you're on Twitter. You tweeted 42 minutes ago, 3 hours ago. You're retweeting people. So you're on it.
Yeah, I feel this weird responsibility when they gave me that many followers that I suddenly had to, like, entertain them.
Yeah, okay. Well, so you're finishing up your tenure at Time Magazine. They've asked you to go away so they could put something else less expensive in that space, as I understand it. But you're now writing for the Athletic, not the Atlantic, the Athletic. What is the Athletic?
Yeah, so it's weird because I hadn't been aware of it, although there's a story in the New York Times last week about it. It is a new subscription-only, like you have to pay for it, sports site. And the guy who used to run Sports Illustrated called me a while ago without knowing. I still haven't told him I'm losing my time column. And he offered me a column every other week, and it sounded easy and like fun.
So now you're writing some sports columns?
I'm writing sports columns. And as you know, I know nothing about sports.
Does he know you? I mean, you're funny and you're in Time, but and he doesn't even know that you're not going to be in Time after the first of the year, but... God bless you, Joel. I don't think sports are your wheelhouse.
No, but I ask you this. Do you think anything is my wheelhouse?
Point Stein.
Yeah. Have I ever written something? You're like, well, he knew a lot about that. He's the expert. No.
With the exception of stuff about yourself. I mean, that's the joy of a Joel Stein column. He's, writing about nuclear arms or whatever, but it's really about Joel Stein. That's the thing.
Well, I will keep that up, even in sports.
Well, you actually kind of got off page in literally writing about a topic in this, your inaugural The Athletic column, Stein, a case study on why punching a teammate in the face is counterproductive. And you wrote about our very own Chicago Bulls.
That's why I called you, yeah.
Punching a teammate, you wrote, is counterproductive to organizations' goals, including but not limited to healthy players, good publicity, morale, and maintaining an attractive, blood-free parquet. The Bulls don't play on parquet, but if they were in Boston or someplace,
look that up. They're playing on rubber? Is that right? It's like a rubber court or something. What is it?
They roll the cafeteria tables off and they put the it's linoleum tile.
It's made of something weird, like rubber or something, right?
Oh, I don't know about the surface of the United
Center. I looked that up, but I figured most teams are playing on parquet.
I don't think most teams are playing. Aleph, find out what percentage of teams in the NBA play on a parquet floor. I'll bet it's not five.
Oh, really?
Oh, I think parquet, you say parquet, people think Boston Celtics. That's all.
Or margarine. But is that right? I thought the pattern the oak is in. See, I know nothing about sports or floors.
So then you said Bobby Portis and Nikola Mirotic are two Chicago Bulls players vying for the starting power forward spot. But they got into a fight. He punched him in the face. Mirotic has a concussion, a broken jaw, and facial fractures. And Portis, for that, gets an 8-game suspension. Mirotic, you wrote, reportedly demanded that either he or Portis be traded. He made this request largely due to the fact that he was punched in the face and only partially because the Bulls totally suck. A kind of a phrase that you come back to several times in your column.
Well, I think the thing to know about this column, which was, okay, so I had heard about the punching in the face incident.
Yeah.
And then I remembered having written a story a long time ago for Time, believe it or not, when they had me writing sports, about Latrell Sprewell choking his coach.
Yeah.
And my thought was, you know, I've had very effete, elite jobs. Maybe coworker violence is common outside of sports, right?
Right.
And so I was like, oh, let me go find out, and I'll write it like a Harvard Business School case study. So I wrote it in the manner, style, and organization of a Harvard Business School case study, which cracks me up, maybe no one else. But I found out that, no, this doesn't happen anywhere else. Like, there's plenty of violence in the workplace, but it's never worker on worker. And it's never in the office.
You know, because everybody on TV and around town is going, well, if that happened to me at the office, I'd be in jail, I'd be fired.
100% true.
But really, we have very few incidents to point to. That never happens.
Never happens. And in fact, there's some super male industries like construction and mining where it will happen, but they do it like school, where they're like, look, we're going to go fight in the parking lot, or we're going to fight after work.
Right.
Because they know if they fight at work, they will be fired.
You wrote, in fact, only 0.1% of people have ever reported being victimized by a coworker in the last 12 months, whereas nearly 12% of the Bulls have.
Yeah, huge. It's a huge difference.
You did the math on that. If you got two and there's 12 guys on the team.
And that's only what we know about.
but then you go to a point which I think is fair and we can't appreciate. And this is more problematic with NFL teams. And that is, you're asking guys to be violent and aggressive. And then at the last second, say in an NFL game, if you hit the guy too high or in an illegal way, then we call you a thug. But doggone it, they're wrapped up in the moment. They're physically trying to get you. And then we ask them to say, yeah, but I'm not comfortable if you do it that way. So there's a little bit of that going on here, right?
However, I talked to a very smart Stanford Business School professor. And I talked to a Canadian business school guy or psychology guy, professor. And he made this point, which is everyone in Canada says you can't take fighting out of hockey because they're all revved up and that's the game and the spirit of it. And he's like, what about Olympic hockey? It's the same guys. They're on the ice, and if they get in a fight, they get thrown out of the game. They don't just get fired for fighting, and there's no fighting in Olympic hockey.
And people love Olympic hockey, and people love the Olympics.
Big ice. Yeah. So it's all organizational. Just like when you look at little kids in a Montessori school all calm and you see them in another nursery school going crazy – it's not like they have a different pool of kids. It's just the organizational structure. So, yeah, you got to fire people who punch each other.
By the way, did you just say Big Ice? Did you just say Big Ice?
Yeah, I'm a sports columnist now.
So you know that the international rinks are bigger than the NHL ones.
I love the Big Ice, especially when you get the 4-on-4 on the Big Ice.
Oh, that's good, Joel. Huh? That was convincing. By the way, speaking
yeah, you
of
that?
And maybe listen, I know so little about sports. I'm completely out of my league in criticizing your knowledge of sports. But I do think you were wrong about the parquet floor. I asked Elif, my producer, to look up how many teams in the NBA have parquet floors. Elif, go.
Listener Kevin works in hardwood floors. Kevin estimates that 90% of basketball courts' floors are made up of parquet, an up-and-down pattern.
90%?
All I got out of that was I need to take a left at the next light.
90%.
Wow, so parquet isn't what you think it is.
Evidently not, because I see it as that sort of alternating checkerboard pattern.
Wait, what was the answer? What percentage? I really
do it again, Ella.
So confused with it. No.
Listener Kevin works in hardwood floors. Kevin estimates that 90% of basketball court floors are made up of parquet, an up-and-down pattern.
All right, well, now I don't think that's what I need.
No.
I don't believe that.
I think they're made of oak. They're red, maybe red oak,
this
the majority
is not,
of them,
is
but
not what
yours.
A parquet
is the pattern.
The parquet floor. Do you have a picture of the Boston Celtics floor?
It's the little triangle angle thing on the floor.
All right, we're off on a tangent we don't need to be on. Here's the thing that I think is the most important thing about your column for us in Chicago, and that is you come to a conclusion about what the Bulls organization should do, because Mirotić does not want to play on the team with Portis. And Mirotić, I don't know how good he is. He's not an NBA superstar, but they're playing him a boatload.
He's making a lot of money, it turns out.
I know. Yeah, that's okay. A different conversation. So the question is, what do you do? Force the two of them to play on the same team, get rid of both of them, keep one of them. The Chicago Sun-Times had an article about what the players want to happen.
Oh.
In today's newspaper, in fact. And you wrote, organizationally, what should the team do? By the way, we now understand from producer Elif that while listener Kevin said that it's 90% of the floors are parquet, that in fact that may be bad information. So I'm going to back off on that, because I don't think it's right either, and Elif is now doubting that. We'll get back to you on what percentage of the floors in the NBA are in a parquet pattern before 3. Joel, you might want to stick around for that.
Yeah, no, I'll be there for that.
Joel Stein,
Joel
Stein writes the awesome column for Time Magazine. He's got one more coming up. Just by the way, real quick about that, is it some big send-off, a tribute, a thank you, a highlights, your thoughts about being in Time? What are you going to write about?
Well, I got a bunch. I didn't know what to do, so I contacted people who did, which is my move usually.
Yeah.
And so I got advice from people who've written last episodes.
Oh, nice.
Got advice from Larry David.
Right.
And Gilligan of Breaking Bad, and Jenji Cohen of Orange is the New Black and Weeds, and Damon Lindelof of Lost. And so then I kind of try and go with their advice and write a last column.
That's funny, because I would say in the case of MASH, Mary Tyler Moore, Bob Newhart, the last episode was classic and great and satisfying. And then Friends, and in my estimation, Lost, the last episode was a huge disappointment. So you kind of got
to talk to those people.
You got
to. Yeah, I wanted to get Damon's advice on what not to do.
Okay. All right. And that's the one that you've written, but that won't appear until sometime in December. Is that right?
Maybe end of November. Yeah, right around, because they do all those double issues at the end of the year for Man of the Year, and they don't put out 50 issues anymore.
By the way, we now have more information coming in on what percentage of the floors in the NBA are of a parquet.
This is great investigative reporting. All this breaking news
here's
coming in on this.
Producer Elif, in 3, 2, 1.
No, it's not more information. It's just a make good. I misheard him. He said that 90% of it is not made of
parquet. So 10% are. And then if you say, all right, what's 10% of the teams in the NBA? I'll bet we're
this
around.
It's like election night. Like, that's a huge shot. From 90 to, I was 90% sure I was right, and then I lost big. Whoa. That's
the Donald Trump of NBA floors.
Oh, my God.
So what is the advice, then, that you were able to get from the experts on what the Bulls organization should do?
They got to get rid of both those guys. make it clear that pushing and shoving and punching are not acceptable. And they look, they're going to lose almost every game anyway. So it's not, this isn't an important decision. They just have to send a message and start building this organization in a responsible way. So they have a guy. My advice after looking at a lot of studies on workplace violence is it basically only occurs in places where there's all dudes. So I think they need to get a female player. And I had really high hopes because the person who's been filling in at power forward is Lori something, right?
Lori Markkanen is a guy from Finland. Yeah. He's 6'11".
That's what I found out. It's
yeah.
a guy.
Yeah.
So still, I think they should stick with him until they can get a woman.
Steve, do you have anything else to add to this?
I pretty much think Joel summed it up there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the players on the team think that Mirotić has to go. They like Portis. They don't like Nikola.
Yeah, both have to go. You can't keep someone punched. It's a bad message that the punching is okay.
It's like we told our four-year-olds, use your words.
Use your words. And I thought it was because Mirotić didn't speak English, but his English is okay.
Yeah. All right, we're out of time, so we can read your wisdom going forward.
I wrote one before this, and you didn't talk to me for it. So if you want to ask me what I think about the World Series, you know, it's going to happen. You can do that now because we missed it.
Read Joel Stein and The Athletic.
Does he give you a passcode so you can get in, or are you paying for this?
I'm going to have to subscribe. I'm a big subscriber to journalism. And as you know, Joel, the site that you write is not without some controversy. A lot of people don't like what your boss is doing to the sports landscape out there.
Yeah, I read that New York Times piece. It sounds like I don't want to meet these guys who pay me.
Goodbye, Joel.
Bye.
Happy holidays. Joel Stein writes for Time and The Athletic.